So, as this is for a primarily U.S.-Canadian audience who may not be familiar with the Glasgow School of Art, would you mind sharing a little bit of background with us about the school, its history, students, and programs that you have?
Okay. Shall I start?
Or? Yeah, you can start.
Well,
just
chip in. Okay, well, the Glasgow School of Art is a small specialist institution. We have about 1,500 students, about 500 staff, many of whom are practicing artists or designers who teach here in their part time, across all levels, undergraduate up to PhD, and across the disciplines of fine art, design, and architecture and digital design. The school was first set up in 1845 as a government school of design. It was the first government school of design outside of London. So we've got a long history going back to 1845. And one of the things it's most famous for is its Mackintosh heritage. And the Mackintosh building, as we know it today, was completed in 1909 by Charles William Mackintosh. And up until the fire, it continued to be used as studio spaces, learning and teaching spaces, right up to present day.
Okay. And the library was in the Mackintosh building, as I recall.
The library was in the Mackintosh building, yes, on the west end of the building, and it had been there since 1909. The library was built as part of the second phase of the Mackintosh building, because it was done in two phases, and it was a beautiful space, and it was mainly our reference library, so some of the older material was across there, a lot of our older backgrounds of journals and so forth. So modern lending library here, a modern building, reference library across the road.
Okay, so this was the space that we are in right now, which is actually across the street from the Mackintosh, was a library.
It was a library,
A working library prior to the fire.
Yes.
Okay, that's good to know.
Day-to-day library, if you like.
Day-to-day, sort of lending library. So in terms of services to the students here, lending stock, you know, interlibrary loans, computing facilities, it was pretty much unaffected, wasn't it?
Okay.
So we were certainly back open here within a week of the fire. Yeah.
So the fire was in May of last year. It was around, in the States, the Memorial Day holiday weekend.
Okay.
Give us a little background about what happened, when the fire started, and how long the response was to get fire brigades out.
23rd of May, was it?
23rd of May, round about midday, I think.
Yes, it was on a Friday.
Half 12, yeah.
The main focus of the academic year for us at that point of the year is preparation for degree show, which is when the students show their work for their graduation. So a very, very busy period in the Mackintosh building, lots of people coming and going, lots of students working on their final pieces. The cause of the fire started off in one of the studios in the basement level of the building, and it was caused by a digital projector sparking.
Okay.
And the spark hit some expandable foam that a student was using in their work, and quickly took hold, didn't it? Everybody was successfully evacuated, so no one was injured.
And no loss of life either.
No loss of life, one was injured, which was brilliant. And the fire brigade actually were here within, minutes. Mm-hmm. The fire station is actually just down the road, so they're really, really near. And because it's an A-listed building as well, I think it's, you know, always given
high priority.
So A-listed is a high-priority building in terms of things such as any fire disaster.
So A-listed is a building that is of national or international architectural significance within Scotland. So it was statutorily listed as an example of a building, an Art Nouveau building of its type. Yeah.
So there were, since you had mentioned that there was studio space. Students were clearly working on final projects.
Yeah.
How many students lost final projects in part or in whole?
Oh, that I don't know. I don't know the actual figure, but it's fair to say some of them did. Not all of them did.
Okay,
I mean,
that's good.
It was amazing, actually, after the fire, when we finally got access to the building, the number of pieces of artwork on the walls, paintings that actually were unaffected.
That's
might have needed a little bit of cleaning, but we're okay. But it's fair to say that some students did lose their work.
I think around 100 students were affected, and they were awarded a special bursary called a Phoenix Bursary to enable them to sort of recover and to continue their practice and not be disadvantaged in the kind of following year. So I think it may be around 100.
Okay.
Yeah, were directly affected.
Okay. And this included final year projects as well, I assume.
Yes,
absolutely.
So
yes.
How did that affect decree conference for any final projects, for any graduating students?
The degree classification they were given was based on their interim mark. Because obviously during the course of the year, their work is assessed on an ongoing basis, so they were given an interim.
Okay. They were still able to...
They were able to graduate.
Which is great, which is absolutely wonderful.
Yeah.
In the Macintosh, the library had your print stock of journals.
Yep.
Was there anything else in the library, in that building of the library?
The print journals were in there, and about a quarter of our rare books collection...
Oh, no.
Anything that was over folio size, because the store we have here on this site couldn't accommodate folio size or over. So anything that was that size was in the Macintosh building. Subsequent to the fire, there was quite a long archaeological salvage that was undertaken.
I was just going to get to that because it was also just completed, if I'm correct.
A month ago it was completed, yes. Lasted a couple of months, so professional archaeologists were brought in to dig down into the... debris. It was about a metre and a half.
In some places, very deep, debris on the floor.
Because obviously the building, the library was built over three layers.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously some of the top layers collapsed in and fell down onto the bottom layer. So they managed to excavate and salvage quite a few artefacts, some elements of lamps, some pieces of Macintosh furniture, and they were able to salvage about 81 books we salvaged in the end. We're just at the point now where we're considering conservation options for all of that material.
So cleaning, restoration, conservation processes are in place. Are you working with any other rare book libraries in the UK or worldwide?
No, other than picking their brains for advice, obviously. And immediately after the fire, we were contacted by lots and lots of institutions all over the world, many in the States, it has to be said, offering us advice and support. So we have picked a lot of people's brains for information on the best way of doing things. And conservation advice, and we're working now with a few firms in the UK who can undertake conservation treatments for us. So that those treatments haven't started yet. We're just in the process of sort of working out actually what has been salvaged and in what condition is it.
Yeah, and the extent to which it's worth spending money conserving it as opposed to outright replacement.
That was actually leads into one of my next questions. How has your library budget changed in the course of the fire? I know it happened near the end of the UK fiscal year, which is August. Yeah. Fiscal year runs August to July. Yeah. How did that affect your budgeting in terms of both, you know, in terms of the library itself?
Well, it's not affected our budget at all. Our operational budget continues exactly the same. any monies that have been incurred mm-hmm. after the fire will come out of insurance monies okay. because everything was insured.
That's good.
Including our rare books collection. Mm-hmm. So luckily, we know exactly what was in that space. We know what it was valued at. and any costs will come out of the insurance monies. So really it's made no effect whatsoever on the working budget of the library at all.
Any particular pieces of note that were recovered from the archaeological exercise? I know that there was some mentioned in the article in The Guardian that I read about this, but I can't remember what they are at the moment.
Well, we can only talk about the library collections, probably.
That's what I was actually getting to, was the library collections.
There was a beautiful book called Sights and Scenes of Fair Japan, which we had, and strangely we have a lot of Japanese materials in our special collections, because Art Nouveau, there's quite a connection there to Japanese art and design, and a lot of architects and people like Charles William McIntosh were interested in Japanese motifs and so forth. So we seem to have a lot of that material. And we had a book of topographical photographs across the whole of Japan, and it was bound in beautiful Japanese silk covers with a sort of Japanese stab stitch ribbon binding along one edge. And strangely, that came out almost, you could almost say unaffected to a certain degree, because it was in a conservation box. So even though the conservation box was just cardboard, it certainly seems to have done something to protect that book. So there is some mould growth, there's a bit of damp to it, obviously, so it needs drying out. So it needs some work, but we're very much hoping that that will come back into the collection. One thing that survived the fire, miraculously, was the very first book that was ever bought for the library here as an institution. And we know it was the very first book because we have the library's first catalogue still in manuscript form in our archives.
Amazing.
And it's down as book number one. It's called The Arabian Antiquities of Spain. It's a massive volume. It's about the size of a table. It's huge.
Oh my God.
And it was in the McIntosh Library, but a couple of days before the fire, I needed to do some cataloguing work on it, so I brought it over here, and so it was in my office simply because I hadn't got round to taking it back because it was such a massive book. So it actually survived the fire. So we're hoping that when the library's restored as part of whatever event they put on to mark the reopening of that library, that book going back into that space will be part of that. So it was quite a miraculous survival, just purely by chance that survived.
In the subsequent days from the fire, I know there was an appeal launched on your website. Mm-hmm. That's actually how I ended up donating. Yeah. Do you know to date, even if it's a rough estimate, how much money has been raised?
I don't. I have no idea whatsoever. I do know that the UK government pledged, and this has been in the press, but the UK government pledged £5 million,
mm-hmm.
And the Scottish government matched that, so they pledged £5 million. So there's £10 million there. Beyond that, I'm not sure where they stand at the moment.
And I know you have a few famous alumni, one who is currently on television, Mr. Capaldi, doctor himself.
Yes,
I know he did a little promo video for the library.
Yeah.
I'll have to link to that in the article. It's adorable to watch because at the time he was, I don't think the new Doctor Who season had aired yet in the States.
Oh, so you get it in the States,
do you? Yes, we do. We do get it in the States. Yeah. It is actually now simultaneous with the UK. So we all don't have to illegally download it anymore. But we have a BBC America channel that shows it. Unfortunately, they do cut for commercials, so there are still some diehard fans who will end up going through the less than legal channels to get them.
And we still have Peter Capaldi's student dissertation from when he was here, because all of the students have to write a dissertation before they can graduate. And he wrote his on vampires. In fact, we had it out on display a while ago, his student dissertation.
Has he been to visit? Has he seen what has happened since then?
Oh, I'm sure he will have been. I haven't seen him visit, but I'm sure he will have been.
I know when it was just announced in the press, either yesterday or today, that there is an architect that has been selected
yep.
to restore the building. It's
yep.
a local architect.
Yeah.
And how was, were you involved at all since the library was a part of that space in the selection of the architect?
No, the selection of the architect was done by the Restoration Committee, is that the name that they're going with? So that comprised Tom Innes, who's our director, Muriel Gray, who's our chairman of governors, Will Judge, who is our student president, Christopher Platt, who is our head of architecture, and a couple of other people whose name escapes me at the moment. But it was done by them as a selection panel. So I think they interviewed five firms
okay.
in total. And Page and Park came out as the successful candidates.
Okay.
Yeah.
And do you have an idea of when the actual restoration work is going to start? There is, of course, scaffolding outside
yeah.
that I saw when I came in on the
yeah.
taxi.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's due to start, did I see May next year?
It's around about a year of kind of consultation
mm-hmm.
and exploration of ideas, I think, before any work
and just structurally as well,
ground.
Exploring
yeah.
the buildings and where they are
yeah.
structurally with it before they actually
yeah.
start
yeah.
work. I think in September this year, at the moment, Page and Park's initial plans are due to be published,
mm-hmm.
and then work will commence sort of about May time, probably 2016. Okay. That's at the moment. I mean, these things might
absolutely
drift.
Has the student community, faculty seen the plans for the building? Have they had any input to ensure, obviously, that the historical as much of the historic architecture of this beautiful building is going to stay put, but modernizing it as much as possible.
Yeah, yeah. Well, nobody's seen any plans at the moment.
Okay.
So there aren't any plans, but certainly Will Judge, who's our student president, was on that panel that selected the architect. So he'll have obviously seen the presentations that were put together by those bodies. And there have been lots of projects going on since the fire with different groups of students who have been engaged with the building. So, for example, our interior design undergraduates worked on a project where they were asked to reimagine some of the Macintosh spaces across the road. And they came up with some very sensitive and imaginative solutions.
Mm.
Some of them completely modernist, some of
mm-hmm.
them completely historical, some of them more in the middle where you've got the historical but merged
mm-hmm.
with a degree of modern interventions.
Okay.
So there's certainly been lots of projects on the go.
Wonderful.
With the students, and also the students have been given the opportunity of having tours round the safe areas of the building. I think a couple of times a week they've been putting
okay.
on tours for the students who want to go around that building
okay.
to have a look at it.
How much of the building is now deemed safe?
It's my understanding that most of it is safe.
It's all safe, yeah. Unsound. Any kind of loose window frames or masonry or dodgy
okay.
floorboards have been sort of sorted out. So yeah, it is possible to have tours there.
It's obviously very cold. It's dirty. It's quite dank.
Yes.
It's certainly not a pleasant place to be. But if you need to be in there for a project, and I assume there is a certain level of special approval that needs to be required.
Absolutely. Yes. Of course. Yeah.
What is the school now doing for studio space? Since that was a studio space.
Okay. So since the fire, most of the studio space that was lost has been replaced by a new building down on Shongate, which is about 15 minutes from here. So a lot of the fine art undergraduates who were in the Macintosh building are now located down there. And there's a minibus that brings students back and forward to the main campus a few times a day. So that's taken up the slack, I think, with most of the studio spaces that were lost.
And we have the new Reed building opposite the Macintosh building, which was opened just a few weeks before the fire.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, some departments, some staff have been displaced, but we've been able to use space, for example, in the Reed building or elsewhere on the campus to accommodate them.
Okay. When the building is rebuilt, will the library still be using it as a storage space, or will you move or will there be another purpose for the library within that space?
The short answer is we don't know at the moment. We're still in really early planning stages. So I mean, as a department, we're mapping out at the moment different scenarios that could be used for that space, what it can be used for. It's fair to say that because it will come back as a facsimile to a certain degree, there won't be the same number of pieces of original furniture, for example, in that space. So we would certainly be keen to open it up more to the student body than it was up than we were able to previously,
okay,
because of the rarity of the materials in there. So I think I think whatever scenario comes out, the student body will have a much greater access space than they've had in the past. But in terms of the actual details of what that space will be used for, it's still in discussion.
Okay. And what can people in and outside the UK do in today, in 2015, to help out with the restoration process?
Okay, well, there are various ways to donate to the Macintosh Restoration Fund, and all of those are detailed on the Glasgow School of Art website. As a library service, what we're looking for are replacements for some of the rare volumes that we lost in the fire. And there is a wants list on the library's website, which people can look at to see if they have any volumes that we're missing. We update that every couple of weeks or so. And so if anybody does have any volumes that are listed there that they no longer require or need, we'd be very, very grateful for them.
Wonderful. Final thoughts?
Just that we're just looking forward to the building coming back and seeing it restored. And, you know, I think when the fire happened, it was very traumatic, but I think now it feels a lot more positive for everybody involved, I think, that you can start to see progress. And also just to say that we've been so incredibly humbled by all the messages of support we received from many other institutions and organisations.
I know JSTOR wrote to you afterwards.
Absolutely. And it was really humbling, wasn't it, that space was held in such affection by so many people.
It's a big encouragement to us because we're only a small team and a small community here, so it was really good to have that feeling of support and to continue to have that.
Exactly. And as I said when I heard about this, how knowing what had happened at my library school, although the library school at New York itself is in Manhattan and the main campus of Pratt is in Brooklyn, it hurts you because you realize that there are students who have made art their life's work and have now lost everything.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm curious to know if it's affected student numbers at all as well.
It doesn't seem to be up until now. I mean, we've certainly not noticed any decrease in the number of people in the library.
Also, with that question, I also meant student enrollment.
I don't know, to be honest. Obviously, that's a different department, so we don't have much to do with
anything.
We're not aware of decrease. I think that the school has such a reputation, not just for its history, although obviously that is a big part, but I think it has a reputation for its pedagogy and the way that things are taught here as well. And it's had so much success in recent years with its graduates that I shouldn't think it would affect recruitment numbers.
Well, I'm definitely hoping that everybody who was at the party at UKSG last night, that in between the glasses of wine and the Kaylee, was texting.
I'm sure they were.
So thank you for this interview.
No problem.